A reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. As I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. For this reason, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have received through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. We are called and saved. We are saved and called to a holy life, not according to our own works, but according to God's own design, and the grace bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus, before time began. In his greeting to Timothy, Paul prays that he may have the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Then, a few sentences later, the apostle reminds the young pastor that God has given him a spirit of power, love, and self-mastery. These three qualities that are in two sets in the second verse and in the seventh verse are like a parallel of one another, and they can also be attributed to the persons of the Trinity. Grace and power. Grace is the very life of God, the Creator and Father and origin of all things. When grace is bestowed upon us, it enables us to become children of our Heavenly Father. We share through grace in His divine life. The Greek word for power is dynamos, like our word dynamite. Again, it is the power and the grace of God the Father acting in our lives and through us to accomplish great things. Because of the divine power, dynamite, and spiritual life, I kind of associate this with God the Father, who has brought all things into his existence, who is all-powerful. Mercy and love. Mercy is love reaching out to someone in need. This word for love is agape, the total self-giving, free, unconditional love. The second person of the Trinity, the Word incarnate, has such a love and brought it to us. And he laid down his life for us out of love and mercy. St. Catherine of Siena often spoke of Christ as mercy incarnate, flesh and blood, compassion and mercy and love. And she said that it was the nails that held him to the cross were not those of iron, but of love. Jesus' entire Paschal mystery and redemptive work is one of love and mercy for sinful and alienated humanity. So we have dunamos, dynamite, agape, love, and the word in the Greek for what is usually translated as self-control is sophronio, and it's one of those untranslatable Greek words. It can mean many things, it most literally would be sobriety. It can also be moderation, discipline, self-mastery, but it is usually translated as self-control. I prefer self-mastery because of the connotations of the word control and how we often want to control things. So how can peace and self-mastery be related? Peace, shalom, is the gift of God, and the gift of God in Scripture is the Holy Spirit. Shalom, peace, just look around. It's so easy to see that people don't seem to have peace or be able to make peace, not only within themselves, but with one another. So the idea of self-control or self-mastery is obviously something that comes from within us because of self. God doesn't do it for us. However, it's something that we cannot do without God's help, without the help of the Holy Spirit within us. I tried to overcome some various difficulties through self-control, but it didn't work too well. It takes surrender in order to master oneself, surrender to the Holy Spirit. Another example is an alcoholic. An alcoholic can't be sober through self-control or willpower. It takes total surrender to a higher power, which is the Holy Spirit, which can help and give grace. Once we have acquired some degree of self-mastery, then a peace fills our hearts that cannot be described. So they are connected. Though we have worked hard, this peace that comes with self-mastery is a sheer gift of God. Peace is so often symbolized by a dove with an olive branch. And we also know that peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. A fruit means it's a product of something. There's the flower first, and then the fruit. So our effort is the flower, and God's reward is the fruit of peace, love, grace, and mercy. Toward the end of this passage, Paul writes, "We are saved and called to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to God's own design and the grace bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus." Years ago, I had a young friend who was beginning to serve God with his whole being. And some people told him that he should be a leader in the Christian community. And even though he felt shy, he thought he had to please God by acting like a leader. He wanted to give his whole self to God, so that's what he should do. So he set out on a path for many years of actually being bossy rather than a leader. He thought to be a leader as a Christian, he had to always have the right answer and to speak his mind, like he read in the lives of the saints of old. Perhaps many of us have made this same mistake. I remember that when I was working with the guests, people would come to the monastery and, you know, tell their problems, so I thought they wanted advice. But I would give them advice that I thought would help. Well, one day I realized while some people were talking, they didn't want any advice from me. They just wanted to be able to tell some of their problems and have the nuns pray for them. the work of God's grace in the people's lives, it's not about us. It's all about God. Whether we're a simple cleaning lady or a bishop, everything is according to God's plan, not ours. Our job is to surrender and let God act. It takes much effort to hold the tongue or the impulsive itch to fix things. Our job is to listen for God's guidance. This is self-mastery. Then, when we do listen to God and we feel called to speak or act, it bears the stamp of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, grant that we may live each day in and by the power, the dynamite of your Holy Spirit.